The following program was recorded at an earlier time. If you'd like more information about today's program, you can contact Joe Martek at 772-229-0114.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martek program, Joe Martek.
And here's Joe Martek. You know, Vince, I was thinking today, here we are at WCNO, and Vince was, oh my
golly, oh God, look
guess
who showed,
up. I can't believe it. It's
well,
Mike,
he missed our party
Mike
today.
Collis, he missed the party.
I know, we had an office party.
Wait a minute.
That I had to get.
How many employees do you have?
I have nine.
Okay, right, well, I take it back. I take it back. That's a party.
Plus, we had some vendors. Our credit bureaus were there, and
well,
it was real nice.
You're excused.
Yes. Okay. I couldn't change it.
You're not forgiven, but you're excused.
You're right. Okay. You're excused, but you're not forgiven. We had a good time, too.
This kind of reminds me of my ex-wife. She says, you know, I can forgive you, but I'll never forget. I was just saying, we have a mission statement.
Okay.
On this program, and we do. We have a mission statement. With me today is Vince Rizzino, CPA. Forensic CPA.
Good afternoon.
Ex-college teacher, professor.
Not
New York.
No, it's SUNY Old Westbury.
I know.
But it wasn't Columbia.
It's not Columbia.
But it still looks good on the resume.
It does, but I can't lie.
I like Columbia better. You know,
Columbia would have been nicer. It would have been nicer. I mean, I'm not unhappy. SUNY Old Westbury is a fine institution.
And Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker extraordinaire. Who we gave on the other show that we did today, even though you didn't show and didn't call in, and we don't want you to feel bad about that, but Dan gave you just the best plug in the world for what you've been able to do and how you've taught us how to help our clients with what's going on in the mortgage market.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about. If I can help people, and if I can put it, you know, I can make a living doing it and help people, I think that's a good thing.
So you see, our mission is twofold. One is literally to educate and to help people. And the other part of our mission is to harass Pastor Tom.
That's it. That's why we're here.
And let me tell you, he helps me a lot. Because, you know, I love this guy, even if he does look like a skinny Burl Ives. Because he's lost some weight.
I have.
And you got a haircut, another one.
You got all of them cut.
I'm telling you.
They're falling out, Joe.
No more ponytail, nothing. I mean, I'm impressed.
Never, never, ever.
I know, but I
I've had someone call and wanted me to put a picture of myself on the internet because they thought I had a ponytail.
After I said this.
After you said this. They listened to what you say, Joe.
You know what? I said, I didn't say you had one. Did I?
You said I have one.
Uh-huh. You do, but it's not very... It's very short. And I don't even know if a rubber band would hold it.
I have more hair growing out of my ears than I do off the back of my head.
That's what Jeff Foxworthy said.
Yeah.
He says, you know, it isn't that we lose hair. It just starts coming out in different places. And that is the truth.
That's what it is. You lose it one place, it's like pushing in on a balloon. You know, push here, it comes out the other side.
And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. So Pastor Tom, we came in today, and I look up, and he's got this... thing.
Beautiful Christmas tree.
He says it's his Christmas tree, and I look at it, and there it is a stick with a limb coming out.
He's going to tell us the. This is hilarious.
It's
really
a stick. Wait a minute.
It's kind of like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Yeah. Well, you got to
no,
get the story
ask
behind
Mike
this.
If he knows what it is.
First, Mike, you know Mike. What that is.
Okay. So Mike Paulus just came in, and he doesn't know what this is, but he said, Pastor Tom says, you probably being the most intelligent and the youngest one of the group.
You would figure this out.
You'd
right
know
away.
What this is. So tell me what this is.
Well, I like the Christmas decorations on it.
Okay.
It's a bullet hanging down off of this tree.
Okay.
Because you have to understand, our listeners don't see.
I know, but you're good. So it's a bullet hanging off of.
It's a bullet hanging off of some tree full of moss.
And no yeah. limbs and no no, limbs, no other green
no
nothing
and
okay.
no leaves
now
no leaves
let's so Connie really runs the place, but Tom gets all the credit for it, right, Connie?
Right
Connie agrees. She just came in and said, hey, she likes Pastor Tom's Christmas tree too. However, there's a story behind this. Pastor Tom, do you want to give us a clue? Give Mike a clue.
This is beyond me, Pastor Tom.
Yeah, well, you're going to laugh.
You're going to like it.
It's a cartridge in a bear tree.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a cartridge in a bear tree. How's that?
That's good. You know, maybe for next week's show, you guys could do all the a cappella hymns.
There we go.
Can you
do acapella?
Are we trying to lose
just
listeners?
I just did acapella.
You certainly you did. Didn't not a very good job.
Not a very
but
good job.
You did do acapella.
Hey, you notice how people, when I was a kid, my dad, I had to go play an instrument. So I had to play a clarinet. And I played it for a whole year. My dad begged me to quit. He says, Joe, you have no talent whatsoever.
And you promptly said, how much is it worth to you?
Okay.
Did you negotiate a raise in your...
Anyway, the cartridge do up in a bear tree on the second cartridge. Day. I can't wait to see what you bring in next week.
I've been thinking all day about that, and I can't come up with anything.
Well, we'd hate... What is it? The next one is
two couple, turtle doves.
You know, listen, you redneck, you shooting turtle doves again?
I'm not going to admit to anything.
Not going to admit
Don't
anything.
Do it.
So we have two basic missions here, folks, and one of them is serious. And that is our group of local professionals, which includes Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, which includes Vince Rosino, CPA, which includes Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Mr. Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, is to help and educate our clients. Help and educate anybody that needs information, because, I say this in all humility, folks, none of us are young. And I'm especially not young.
I am young at heart and mind.
You don't look it, but that's
How
okay.
How would you know?
Looks
Can
are
you
deceived.
See those things?
You know. I'm not. Hey, which one of you guys is older? You or Pastor Tom?
I don't know. I never checked in with him.
I mean, you both look pretty old, but you know.
I'm not saying. Now after that comment, I'm not saying a word.
I'm glad I'm
the one
left
thing
out of
that we both know is that we're younger than you are.
That's unfortunate.
That's all that matters. We're younger than you, Joe. We are the youngest members.
You know, there comes a time in life when you become the top of the pecking order. This is not a good thing.
No.
Because you're the next one to go.
Yes. Well, I think as a generation, we've reached that point.
Yeah, boy, that's the truth. Much. That's the truth. Well, you're an old guy. You're an old guy. I'm an old guy. When you got kids, my oldest got her AARP card last year.
Wow. Your oldest got her AARP? That means you are ancient, Joe. You are ancient.
Exactly.
I have one going into fifth grade.
I don't have grandkids that young. So the concept of our group, in fact, we celebrated today, we think, according to the other radio station we're on, they said, congratulations, Joe. And I said, what for? She goes, well, this is your 10th Christmas. And I says, well, you have to understand, we were doing these shows a couple of years before, but we don't know when we started. So we've kind of said, let's just use 04 as our official start. Even though we know we were doing before the hurricanes, but we're using 04 as our official start. So we are now 10 years on the radio, and we're relatively new with WCNO, which we're, Pastor Tom, you got to admit, we do have a good time.
We do.
And I know you cringe a lot, and you kind of, you know, maybe you're losing sleep even, but, you know, it's worth it, to me anyway.
Okay.
No comment.
No comment. So the mission statement, very simply, in seriousness, is to help people. And this is a call-in show. You can call 1-888-221-8990, 1-888-221-8990. And in case you're listening to this show on either Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, you're listening to the same show three times, because today is the 17th, and we are not doing a live show next week or the week after, because Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
So this program is going to air?
Two more times.
Yeah. Well, I hope it gets a lot better than this, then.
You hope it gets better?
Come on.
So if you want to hear yourself on the radio, for another couple of weeks, it'd be a good time to call in and pick
That's
on
right.
Us.
This is a call-in program.
That's exactly.
And normally we're talking about finance and insurance and mortgages and real estate and things like that.
And but we today, probably, and we today, probably will.
Yeah, today it's Pick on Tom Day, I think.
You know, I enjoy that part.
You know, a thought came to my mind that the Uh-oh. Scripture says that the righteous will suffer persecution, you know, so.
Quit patting yourself on the back there, you righteous All right. man. But isn't there some more scripture that says something about the righteous man? Isn't there a needle in a haystack or something?
Stick to finance.
Stick to finance. I'm reaching back into the resources for that one. That's and you right. know what it is, but it's not the new scripture. That's it.
Well, yes, you got two or three or four maybe mixed up there somewhere.
I'm doing that on purpose.
He's covering all his bases.
Yeah. He covered all the bases. So, literally, we've had some really, really nice people call us, and we've been able to do some good things, and Mike Paulus has helped quite a few already, I think, you know.
So. Yeah, we've had some people that called in about the USDA program.
Right, right.
And that they just revamped that program, so it's actually become a little bit easier to finance homes. Before, they had some limitations on what you can finance with the USDA program. It limited properties with pools because they were considered luxury items. They've eliminated that requirement, so now you can finance pool homes with a USDA program, 100% financing, no money down, and it's a great, great program. Interest rates are fabulous on it.
Let me repeat that. No money down. Did you hear what that said?
Yeah.
No money down.
No money down.
And it's 100% financing.
And it's a loan that's guaranteed by the federal government, the USDA.
Uh-huh. United States Department of Agriculture. Department of Agriculture.
Yeah.
Now, there's qualifications. You can't make too little and you can't make too much. Is that right?
Yeah, but they're very generous in the income caps. I mean, for a family of four, the income cap in our area is $75,000.
So that's the most you can make.
That's the most you can make.
Okay.
And whatever that qualifies you for, that's what. There are no income. There are no loan amount caps on that program. So whatever $75,000 qualifies you for, that's what you get. If you have very little debt, that could be well over $400,000.
Wow. The interest rates on that are the same as the regular mortgages that are going
Yeah,
today?
You're looking in the low fours, and based on the last few weeks, they're dropping even further.
Yeah, and then if something,
yeah.
the T-bills are going.
You know, I laugh because a lot of the economists in our industry predicted much higher rates at the
of
end
course.
Of 2014.
Yeah.
And actually, they've decreased, you know, over the course of the year.
It's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, well, the Fed just held their meeting today. They said they're probably going to hold them the same for a little bit of time.
Did you see what happened to the Dow today?
Yeah, the Dow went up. I think it's up about 300 points.
Hey, all of a sudden, Janet Yellen is loved by the market. Janet Yellen, folks, for those that don't know, is the head of the Fed. And she evidently said some things like they're not going to raise interest rates soon.
Yeah, we like that in the mortgage industry.
No kidding. Well, let's face it, low interest rates, the only people it hurts, this I shouldn't say only, but the people that it hurts are people with money in the bank.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And not all people with money.
No.
Depending on what investments you're in, but certainly ones in CDs and money markets and those kinds of things, they're getting practically nothing.
If you can get 1%, a half of 1%, or whatever it might be.
But unfortunately,
do you remember the days when you were getting 10, 11, 12% for a CD?
I remember 1981 when my father came home with a $25,000 investment. He got a color TV. He got a color TV.
Yeah, they gave
I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. It was like it was about 22 inch or something, a 25 inch color.
That was
TV.
A big one at
and
the
that
time.
That was a big one at the time.
Yeah, I remember in the late 80s, we were running a promotion in the mortgage industry. We were giving a Sony colored Trinitron if you applied for a mortgage. So those days are over. But
it was interesting. I had a client years ago. She moved from, I think it was Louisiana at the time, and she inherited money and retired, and she went into the bank and said, I want the longest CD you have. And the guy there says, well, we've got a 12-year one, but you really don't want that because if interest rates go up, you're sucked into this and you're only going to get 11%.
Only 11.
I think she hit a home run. That was a bank that was begging her to cash that CD in. They'd do anything to get rid of it because their cost of money obviously well exceeded what they were paying her.
Mike is probably too young to remember this, but back in the mid-80s, mortgage rates are up around 12%, 13% for mortgages.
16 and 17. We closed loans for 16 and 17%.
Well, we were refinancing those loans in the 1990, 1991. I remember doing refinances for people several times a year because the rates were falling that
much. Gone.
And if it made, and it made sense to do it at the time for the customer.
Yeah. Well, just think, if anybody's still sitting with a 7% or a 6% or even a 5% mortgage, they now's a good time to just question and see if it makes sense.
Because you're going to Mike about that, I was going to ask him about that, because you have the HARP program, which we pretty much know about now. Mm-hmm. But is there anything for those that have conventional mortgages? I mean, what can they expect?
Yeah, I'm doing numerous 30-year fix right now, refinance, cash out refinance, under 4%.
Wow.
On a 30-year fixed.
Can you imagine that?
That's unbelievable. Got to talk to you then.
So what it does, it does pay you this. You know, and I guess the big question is how long are you going to stay in your house? But if you're reasonably convinced you're going to stay 5 years or more in your house, and it's even 1.5% or 1% difference, it might pay you to do it.
Well, it depends on the closing cost. Were there any points or that kind of thing?
Yeah, it depends on how much it costs you to get into it, and it depends on how long you're going to keep the loan. That's sometimes hard to say. You know, one thing that I try to talk to all my customers about is a 15-year mortgage, because the 15-year rates are just absolutely fabulous. I mean, below 3.5%. If you can lock in an interest rate, pay off your loan in 15 years, and probably not increase your payment, your current payment that much, that's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah, the only problem with Vince is he's not going to live that long.
Well, do you know something I don't?
We need to remind everybody that this is a call-in program, and if you'd like to call and ask a question today about a mortgage or finance or
taxes,
we need to get the taxes. We've got a lot to talk about today.
The number is... Today's program is pre-recorded, therefore we're not taking telephone calls today, but if you have questions from Joe or any of the folks on today's program, you can contact Joe Martek at 772-229-0114. Now, back to the program.
Let's depart, et part, repart some information. This is close to the end of the year.
In part, I think.
In part, that too.
Yeah.
What about taxes?
Well, you know, I clipped this because I got this on my regular bulletins I get every day, that the Congress now passed this what they call tax extender legislation. That what that means is these were things in the law that weren't made permanent, which meant that every year the Congress has to go back in and extend it if they want to. This was pretty significant because there were a couple of things on there that if they didn't extend them would have been very, very bad for the consumer. One of them was the forgiveness of mortgages for those people who either short sold their homes during the year or they got foreclosed on and they got a 1099 and had this forgiveness of indebtedness income.
Mm-hmm.
Well, up until recently, nobody was sure whether that stuff would be taxable or not. So those people that closed earlier in the year basically were uncertain as to what the tax are.
That was a big concern. And you know, that one thing our listeners need to know about that is that's only for primary residences.
That's correct. It's for primary residences.
So if you have an investment property that you did short sale or foreclosed, got foreclosed on, that's you still have to pay taxes
you're still,
on that.
You're still out the lunch there. But there is a difference with those things because there may be ways for you to offset that gain by basis. You know, if you have tax basis with the losses that are built into the property to begin with, you probably can offset some, if not all of that. But the principal residents, they had basically... You had a gain, you paid the tax on it, regardless of your write-off on the other side.
That was a big concern.
So now, with the extent, now I have to caution everybody to tell them that the president hasn't signed this as yet, but we're all, I think, expecting him to sign it.
Is this a part of the budget bill that
this was part of that $1.8 trillion?
So he said he's going to sign it.
Yeah, I think he will.
And he will.
And so this is one of the biggest pieces of that puzzle was now you'll be able to get relief from that forgiveness of indebtedness on a principal residence, if it was your principal residence. A couple other little goodies for those teachers out there. They're coming back with this $250 above-the-line deduction for supplies. A little small thing, but for the teachers, it's a very big deal.
So you mean if a teacher actually
spends out of pocket more
than $250 in a year?
You'll get up to $250 above the line, which means you don't have to itemize to benefit from that. It's an above-the-line deduction, $250. It's to try to help the teachers.
Okay, is that a max of $250?
Max of $250 deduction, correct.
Okay, so all you have to do is just keep your records for the year in case of an, I doubt they're going to get audited, but in case, you know, just, you know, the pencil, whatever you buy for those classes, which almost every teacher seems to me spends more than that on these
kids. Here's the thing is very important for those that live in non-tax states that they extended. That is, you know, for states like Florida, Nevada, Texas, that don't have income tax. these states cried foul when all of the other states of the union got their residents got to deduct whatever they paid in state income taxes. They got deductions for that. So basically, the rest of us were subsidizing those states that allowed those deductions. Actually, the Fed allowed the deductions
exactly.
for those state income taxes. So a couple of years ago, they came out with an alternative for us, you know, for Washington, all those states that don't have taxes, Nevada. They said, we'll let you take the equivalent of your sales tax, state and local sales taxes, as a deduction. If you itemize, and you have to itemize for this. You can't.
Now, question is, Vince, let's just say you gross $100,000 a year, family
right.
gross,
mm-hmm.
and you're itemizing. Is there a formula for sales
there
tax?
There is a formula. Honestly, I don't have that formula in my head because what I do, my tax program takes care of that for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
So what it does is there's a formula that for every single county,
right.
and you have to put in, obviously you put your address in,
right.
it converts to your zip code, converts
right.
to a county, and then your county sales tax. And then based on the level of income you have,
they give you an automatic,
there percentage
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
So
that's what
it's a nice
now, if
deduction.
You go to higher than the automatic, you have to itemize like
yes.
crazy. Because let's say you bought a car or
yes.
a boat or something really expensive. There.
Correct. You can either do the flat. It's like taking the standard deduction versus an itemized deduction.
Exactly.
You could either take this standard formula or
right.
or index rate, or you could actually itemize what you've paid out of pocket.
Another question. So federal income tax, they've got the standard or itemized deductions. If you do standard, does that include, if you be in your program, Florida's standard for the sales tax?
Well, standard. It's a federal standard, so it has nothing to do with the state. If you're itemizing Schedule A, for those people who are familiar with the
right.
1040 form, then one of the itemized deductions are state and local taxes.
What I was asking, and I don't know if I didn't understand it. So let's say I live in a tax state.
A tax state, okay.
And I get to deduct from my federal income tax my payment
state
that goes to the state.
Pay, right.
But now I live in Florida, and I make the same $100,000 in Florida as I was in a tax state.
Right.
Does the program just automatically say this is the standard deduction including, or do you got to go county by county, got to figure it, calculate
it? No. It will go, let me go backwards. You know that there's two ways to deduct
right.
deduct your expenses.
Right.
You could take the federal standard deduction, which is different for singles and marrieds
right,
and separates
right.
and all that. Or you can itemize your deductions on Schedule A. So, for example, if the standard is $13,000, if you have $13,000 or less in a given year of itemized deductions, you take the standard.
Okay.
If you have more, then obviously you want to itemize.
There you go.
Now, one of those itemized to get to the over
13
would be the sales tax.
There you go.
So you'd have your sales tax in there, you'd have mortgage interest, your
yeah.
real estate taxes,
right.
you know, mortgage interest, those kinds of things.
Now, if you lived in a state where you did have state income tax, could you do both sales tax and
no.
state income? So it's one or the
no,
other.
It's one of the, it's really, it's geared to those who are in non-income taxed mm-hmm. states.
Just because we don't in Florida have a state income tax. Other states do. They get to deduct it. We don't.
Right.
Well, now they're saying, yeah, okay, use your sales tax that you pay in Martin County.
Right. We'll let you do deduct yeah. that instead of or in lieu of the
state. So you just figure your taxes both ways.
So here's the question that
right.
I think Joe was alluding to that maybe I don't understand. If a person is going to take the standard deductions, they're not going to
right.
itemize.
Right.
Do they also get a credit
no.
for sales tax?
No. The sales tax is an itemized deduction item. Oh, you
no.
have to itemize
yep,
to take
there you
it,
go.
Right.
Okay. But
now,
what happens if you figure itemized and the standard is still higher, you take the standard.
Okay, of course. Well, let's say even with the sales tax, you say you come up to 11,000.
But people that pay, that file their taxes and take the standard deduction for their federal taxes, we still pay state tax every time you buy gas, every time you buy an item.
That's true.
And
that's
so
true. That's
you're not
yeah,
getting credit
you're,
for
now,
that.
Now you're just
not
complaining.
Direct.
That doesn't work.
No.
Somebody
that's,
had to complain to get the other one.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, isn't that the
it was all the. It was really all the non-taxed states, non-income tax states that complained to the Fed saying
yeah.
this is unfair.
So if you live in Florida and you take the standard deduction, you don't get a credit for your
for what you pay
sales tax.
No. So you want to figure it both ways.
You figure it both ways. Yeah.
If you don't have receipts.
You don't need receipts if you go with the table. In other words, the table's based on your income. They'll assume that you spent
X dollars. So if you do all your other itemization and then
Use the table.
Use the table. Doesn't matter. You don't need receipts.
But you have
but
to
if you want to get beyond the table amount, then you'd have to have receipts. You know, for example, if you bought a car, you'd want to separately.
You remember that Rolls Royce you bought this year? Mm-hmm. All that sales
no,
tax?
Tell me about it.
Now, Vincent,
where did you park it?
I hate to tell you, it's 20 years old, and it's not an antique, and it's kind of smashed up. It's for sale on US 1.
I think it's sitting on blocks behind the bar.
There you go, right.
Vincent, in a situation when you do make a big purchase, say you bought a $30,000, $40,000 car, a lot of people finance that tax into the financing. Is that deductible the first year?
Yes. It matters not.
Regardless if it's borrowed money.
Borrowed money or not, it's still you spent it. It's financed.
Yeah, because that could be a pretty big chunk of change.
Well, yeah.
You're 6% talking about 6% of 30 grand. $1,800, that's serious money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Today's program was pre-recorded. Therefore, we're not taking telephone calls today. But if you have questions about anything on the program, you can contact Joe Martek at 772-229-0114. Now, back to the program.
Well, you know, getting back on that point, you know, that those big-ticket items might just be the what you need to get you over the hump so that you can itemize and get benefit for it. You might be at that just at the on the precipice there. You might be around $13,000.
Do you have any idea what the standard deduction is for that sales tax?
There is no, quote, standard. It's a formula based. I don't know. I've never actually. It's based on income. I mean, I could find
it's
out if you want to know. It's done for me, so I don't pay attention to it.
Now, I know that there's
If I were
some...
you, Mike, I'd call your accountant.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe your accountant will tell you that one. I could tell you, too, but I need to research it. I don't have the table in front of
him. He is in front of him, right?
When do you have to set up any kind of IRAs or make your IRA contributions to make it count for 2014?
Well, IRAs you have until April 15th to open up an IRA. What you want to be careful on is the things like the HSAs or 401ks or those kind of things where you need to get them done before the end of the year. So you need the next 2 weeks, you need to set those things up for the following year. Mm-hmm. Or for the current year for that matter.
Yeah, for the deduction this year.
To get the deduction this year. So, yes, the IRAs, you got some time. If you're self-employed, you have even more time if you extend your returns, not for the IRAs.
Does it work for SEPs? And
SEPs are different. SEPs,
so it's strictly just an IRA, traditional IRA.
Has to be in by April 15th.
Yeah, okay.
So you have to. It doesn't have to be open in 2014. It could be open
anytime
by April 15th.
That's correct. That's correct.
Hey, and I know an investment advisor,
but the 401ks you must have you must set them up before year end. HSAs, you must have them set up before year end and make the contribution to get the deduction on your tax return.
So what are some other things that people can do to take advantage of the tax code
Of the year? First of all, that's a whole big discussion I can get briefly say to you. It depends on whether you're itemizing, whether you're taking the standard deduction. For example, medical. This year, IRS, and last year, they raised the threshold. So now you can only deduct, as an itemized deduction, those things in excess of 10% of your adjusted gross income. So if somebody's making $100,000, the first $10,000 of medical expenses,
is
they can't
not
deduct,
deductible.
Not deductible.
Right.
But if you've incurred $11,000, when I say incurred, you had to have paid it. Because I had a client come to me and say, Vin, I have all these bills, but I haven't paid them yet. No, they don't want to let you accrue those deductions. You have to actually make the payments to get the deductions.
Gee, that makes really good sense. I can accrue $1 million worth of medical expense and go bankrupt and cake as a tax deduction.
Exactly.
Boy, oh boy.
The Congress is dumb, but
Congress
they're not
is
that dumb.
Not that dumb, right?
And how about charitable contributions?
Well,
is there
it's
any
funny
limitations?
You mentioned that. And I swear I did not set up Mike Paulus with these questions, but they're excellent questions.
But that was
Mike.
Good.
The question on the charitable, because I was just researching it before, this is one of the extenders that is in the package, which helps people who are 70 and a half and who have what we call RMDs. What's an RMD? A required minimum distribution. The IRS code says for all of you that have deferred compensation and IRAs and those things, you must begin taking distributions once you reach 70 and a half. What the IRS said is we'll allow you to actually contribute to a charity up to $100,000 and apply that money to your RMD.
So if you took your RMD check and had it sent straight to the charity, you complied with the IRS code, and you get a
tax deduction.
Deduction. So double win. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. Now, the other thing, generally speaking, in terms of tax planning, what I do with my clients, and I'm doing it now, is we take a look at their profitability. If they're running a business, are they making money, losing money? We try to accelerate deductions, for example. We try to postpone income to the extent that we can legally. And there are very other techniques. And then we look at contributions. The reason why I do my planning now is for this reason. People need to do things sometimes before the end of the year. Although a lot of clients, they give me grief. I call them. I says, I need the financial statements till November 30th. And humming. They haven't closed their books in 6 months.
Minor side effect here.
So all of a sudden, I've put stress in their lives. But
Everybody should have stress. This is called normal.
Yeah, well, I just don't want later, come April 15th, you hand them the tax return that's got a huge tax bill, and they go, how did that happen?
Yeah, boy.
Well, gee, if I knew that, I would have bought my $30,000, $40,000 vehicle.
Well, sometimes, and this is why I think December can be a real big month for people when they're out doing certain things, because that clock hits December 31st, and a lot of things you can't do after that, except the IRA.
And you want to accelerate things, Joe. For example, I did it myself. I needed to buy equipment. And so I just went in the last 2 weeks and purchased the equipment I needed because I wanted to get it in before year end.
Question. So I buy $1,000, $10,000 worth of equipment, but I put it on time. Okay, can I deduct the whole thing?
Yes, you can if you put it on a credit card. Yes, you can.
Okay.
Credit equals cash.
Right, that's an unsecured debt.
It is unsecured.
But what if it's not on a credit card? What's on a note? Same thing.
Well, yeah, if you put it on a note and you legally signed for that note, yes,
finance. So any type of finance agreement, you can deduct the whole thing.
But most people these days are putting things a lot more on credit cards, and so they concentrate on that. I encourage people, if there's only one proviso to this, and that is you got to be making the money in order to take immediate tax advantages. Otherwise, you've got to depreciate it. Or you could take what's called a Section 179, and if you don't have enough income this year to deduct it all,
right,
it'll immediately carry over to next year. So if you make money next year, that'll come right off the top of next year's.
Nice.
Well, as opposed to depreciating it over the life of the asset, for example, a car or a piece of machinery, which might be fine.
Say you own a personal piece of machinery, like a vehicle, and you wanted to take advantage of some of the tax codes. Can you transfer that into your business and depreciate that this year?
Yes, you can, but you got to be careful with that. And I say careful with it. A, make sure that the vehicle is registered in the business name, number one. I mean, I know a lot of people who don't do that, but I caution them against it. Yes, we talked about it with Dan Warren, our insurance independent agent and part of our group. And he agreed. He says it's a little more costly. It's about 10% higher on the premium.
Car insurance.
But you're protected in the sense that if you use your vehicle for business and you're on the road all the time, I don't think you'd ever want to come up against an insurance company who claims that, hey, you said it was a personal vehicle. That's what you said. It's fraud. You said you're using it for personal, using it for business.
How do they calculate the basis for that?
Well, the basis always goes back, Mike, to your original cost. So you can't say, the vehicle, I paid $5,000, the vehicle's worth $8,000, I'm going to put it on the books for $8,000 and depreciate it. No.
It's what you paid for.
It's really basically what you paid for it. And also, if you've owned it for several years, then you'd have to take that into account also in terms of what is it worth today. It's either basis cost or market, whichever is less, put that into the business and start depreciating it.
But does money actually have to change hands from the business to the individual?
No, you can make a contribution of that asset to your company, but I would also secure that by putting it in the minutes to your board meetings where the company itself is agreeing to take this as a capital contribution from you.
If you're the only officer in that company, it might
help. Well, you can do it. It's easy. It's easy in that case. You just write up a minutes to a meeting. And by the way, I suggest that all people do that. I tell my clients all the time, in order to keep the legitimacy, authenticity of your entity, whether it's an S corp, LLC, whatever case, you really should have annual meetings, even if it's just a 5 minute. We had a meeting. Hello, goodbye.
So you can do that during a commercial break at halftime.
Yeah, you can do it at halftime.
Sunday's game.
You got it. But you need to sign it as a secretary of the corporation. Maybe even put the corporate seal on it.
All that
and
stuff.
Put it in your book. It's what they call good housekeeping. It's corporate housekeeping and governance.
1-888-221-8990. What else do we have here, Mister? You got 23 pages there.
No, most of this, I'm going to only concentrate on individuals because I think most of our audience, I think.
Well, talking about individuals, do different individuals, according to their occupation, qualify for different deductions? For example, I know years ago when I was pastoring, there was a tax person here in Martin County. They specialized, supposedly, on doing returns for ministers or people in ministry because there's unique deductions that they could take.
Yes, there are people that specialize in that. Honestly, I didn't have too many ministers or pastors in my career, but that doesn't mean that the rules are that complex. I've looked at them in the past, and yes, there are some unique things, but
does that apply for other occupations as well?
No, not generally speaking. I mean, you're talking about a very unique thing with the pastors and so on and the church-related activities. But most of the others fall into a commercial category. You know, you're in some sort of business enterprise, whether it's got to be a commercial enterprise. You're talking about something that's not commercial. It's religious. It's
a nonprofit, but his income is not considered nonprofit income.
No. So he gets taxed on the income just like everybody else. Right. The question is, what types of expenses is he allowed to deduct as a pastor that you and I couldn't, because he's considered to be in a business of pastoring?
I like that.
Not any longer. I'm a station manager. But
that's
at the time, but at the time there were things like libraries,
clothing allowances, not allowance, but clothing expenses.
Yeah.
Because that is
travel
uniform
expenses.
Of sorts,
yeah.
You know, if you have to wear a collar or whatever.
If you attended seminars, if you attended, you know, required meetings, travel expenses and things, all of that was deductible.
Absolutely. And they still stand. They haven't them in any way.
You know what we have?
A phone call?
We have a phone call. Let me just check this out. Phone call. This is Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, this is Patty. I have a question. You may have already answered it, but I just came into the picture. So.
Thank you, Patty.
I have a rental house that I was living in for the last almost 2 years. But I purchased, it wasn't a rental house. It was my primary residence. And I just purchased another house, and I rented that house out. Now, I do have an LLC established that I've never used. Would it be smart for me to roll that house over into the LLC for, you know, liability, taxes, you know?
Let me tell you something, Patty. This is Vince Rosino. Yes, I would say if you have the LLC formed already, there's only one problem you're going to have. Is there a mortgage on this rental property? Because no mortgage. Okay. If there's no mortgage, then it would be a simple thing to retitle that over to the LLC and to give you the corporate protections, especially if you're renting it, because you never know. Somebody could have an accident, fall down, kill themselves, break their necks, look you liable because they said they reported something to you and you didn't take care of it. They tripped and fell and broke their necks. All of a sudden, you know, your insurance doesn't cover you but for $1 million or whatever your coverage limits are. And then the rest is on you. So you'd want to protect the rest. You want to protect yourself by putting it into that LLC. Therefore, it would limit at least to the value of whatever assets are inside that LLC, and I would also couple that with insurance. But yes, if you have the LLC, I'd use it.
All right.
And all you have to do then is tell your insurance agent to change the name on the policy to the LLC, right?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And
I don't know if he's sitting in the office. I mean, is he there in the studio with you today?
No,
Dan's not here today, Dan Warren. No, we just left him a little while ago, but he couldn't make it to the show.
But I will tell you this, that's a good question to call his office, because literally, if you've got, you have your insurance with Dan already?
Yeah, and it's insured as a rental property.
Well, there you go. Literally, just call his office and just tell him you want to change the name once you do this LLC change. It's not much of an onerous task to change the name from one to the other.
She probably could use Greg to help her with that.
You might want to call Greg Fasulo, attorney. He wouldn't charge you too much to make that transition, and then, you know, then obviously you can have Dan change the name on the policy. It would include you, but it would be the LLC and, you know, et cetera. Does that make
sense? Yeah. How does it affect me? Like say if I, okay, because we're all just gloom and doom here. Like, say if I drop dead. And now, does that also just get included in the will, that anything as part of that LLC gets left to my whoever I want to leave it to?
Well, it's absolutely imperative that you take that LLC into consideration when you do put your will together. You might even want to consider, again, talk to Greg about this. You may want to consider opening up a trust and maybe put the LLC inside the trust.
Now, I'm leaning heavily, Patty, this is Joe Martek. I'd lean heavily on a trust at this point because a trust is not subject to probate. And that trust can encompass a whole lot of different things. It just doesn't have to be for the LLC. It can be you personally, all kinds of different assets.
And also it directs your executor what to do with it.
Exactly.
In the event of your demise, Patty.
Okay.
That is all at, right. that Patty, that is after the party. You know that.
After the party. I love it. Well, you know, if she's going up to a better place,
that's
heaven,
what I said.
Then we should be partying after and celebrating.
The party. Come
on. That's right. We're celebrating that event.
Listen, after I leave here, it's going to be one continuous party because that's the place to be.
Amen, girl. We all agree to that. Hey, Patty, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful night.
You're welcome, Patty. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and drive safe home.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, would there be any advantage for her just to put it in the name of the trust? Because, see, if they put it in the name of the trust, if down the road they ever wanted to get some financing on that property, maybe to make some improvements or maybe purchase another investment property, that makes it a whole lot easier to get financing on it. If you put a property in an LLC,
she can put the
it becomes very difficult.
But you wouldn't put the property into the LLC. I mean, into the trust. You would put the membership interest into the trust. So it would be her membership interest that's in that trust. The property is in the LLC. And she doesn't have a bank. So we had that problem. Mike and I had that with one of my clients. He's got this property.
Trying to get it financed.
Trying to put the property in the proper place, having the bank to deal with if she wanted to refinance it.
But here's what happens, though, too. Even if with an LLC, it's titled into that, but you still have to sign a personal note, right?
Yes. No bank's going to give you.
No, they're not going to give you.
Well, if the property is titled in the name of the LLC, you're not going to get conventional type of financing.
No.
You'd have to get some kind of commercial financing.
I got that many, many years ago, 8 years ago.
Yeah,
probably
things are different.
Then, right?
Yeah. Well, before we had, we're very limited on who's buying these loans nowadays. It's Fannie Mae, it's Freddie Mac, it's FHA, it's VA. Where before we had the whole world buying our loans. It's just not the same way.
So they're finally cracking down, Fannie.
So,
well, they're just.
Now, here's another thing that can happen. Stay with me on this thought, Vince. If I title it into the LLC right now, which costs very little to move it. You know, it's strictly $35-$50, something like that. So maybe it costs $100 or $200 for Greg to do it. And Greg hates it when I do that, but I'm doing it anyway.
You're selling his services
but
cheap.
I know. Patty, make sure when you see Greg that Joe said. But the other side of the coin is, let's say 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, she decides she wants to finance that. She can title it back.
Yeah, she can transfer it back.
Transfer it back.
Sure. Yeah, an insignificant amount of cost to get it done. But the problem, even with a trust, unless it's an irrevocable trust, when it comes to liability, they're pierced constantly.
Pierce them.
So, I mean, I'm in monster favor of her taking that property and putting it into the LLC now. And then in the trust.
Just have her membership interest in the trust.
Exactly.
And this protects her on that low-level liability issue.
You know, this is Sue America. You know, you and I both know that. And attorneys, when they find out you've got some bucks, they're happy.
And what's great about the LLCs from a litigation point of view is that they can only put a charge, this is what I understand from my lawyer friends, they can only put a charging order against distributions that you might get out of that LLC, unlike an S-Corp, for example, where they could actually lean and get control
the whole thing.
Over
the
your girl. Stock
yeah,
and it becomes
okay.
their company.
Some benefits. But that's we're playing attorney here a little bit, but I don't want to do that.
No, I'm not an attorney. I can't give legal advice, but I can tell you what I've seen.
Exactly. And I think that's what we all do because we see it all the time. But
today's program was pre-recorded. Therefore, we're not taking telephone calls today. But if you have any questions about any subject on today's program, you can contact Joe Martek at 772-229-0114. Now, back to the program.
There's another kind of planning opportunity for those people who have appreciated property, who may want to make a contribution of that property to their charity, or favorite charity. What does that do for you? Well, if you have something you bought for $100 and now it's worth $1,000, if you were going to donate the cash, you'd have to sell the property, get a $900 gain out of it, pay the tax at 15 or 20%, then take the net and give it to your charity. Where if you do it by contributing the property itself to the charity, be it stock is a perfect example, then you'd get a write-off for the fair market value of it, and not it'd be a lot bigger bang for the buck. So for those people who want to give a charitable contribution, make a contribution, you consider appreciated assets like stock.
We're winding into the Christmas season, and I am a happy, you know, Pastor Tom, do you know how many holidays there'd be if men were in charge?
365.
See, there's two answers, and that's one. I heard that one too. Payless holidays.
Yeah. Does a fishing day count as a holiday?
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it does. And as far as you're concerned, it does.
Yes.
See, I'm leaving.
But then I agree with that. 365.
I'm leaving on the boat Friday, going through the locks over to St. Pete.
Oh, that's
for
fun.
Christmas.
Nice.
That's fun.
Very so nice. I'm really looking forward to this holiday season.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you know,
I've got a neighbor across the street that's going with me, and he's never done this, so he's all excited.
Well, the problem with that is you can't use your autopilot. You have to keep your hands on the wheel. That's a
in that ditch. You can forget the autopilot. Yeah, that's it. But this boat doesn't have autopilot.
I thought that would be the first thing that you would have purchased for that boat.
No, because, you know, even when I had one before, I'm constantly, when I was going to the Bahamas, I'd be constantly changing it because of the drift. You know, you put it on a certain thing, but what I always did, I put a point. Mine used to just go to that point.
Oh, okay. Well, you can set it for a coordinate now.
Yeah.
But I figured it would be a good opportunity for you to go below and take a little nap while the boat was taking you to the Bahamas.
I could not do that in a million years. That's against the rules. Mike, I was out one time on a boat heading out the inlet, and all of a sudden a blade came off a prop. There was a 4x4 vertical in the water, 6 inches below the surface. And it hit my prop and took a blade off clean.
Yeah, that could go right through the boat too.
Let me tell you, and you know, if you're down there sleeping, by the time I would have got there, it probably would have destroyed the drive shaft and all of the, you know, the gears and all the kinds of stuff would have been. Anyway, it's exciting. Mike's a boater, folks. If you didn't know, because he and I both have been over into the Bahamas, and thank you, Lord, thank you, that we actually get to do that. That's it. So, as I said, my oldest and my girlfriend's Barb's oldest are both in St. Pete, so we're going to have Christmas in St. Pete.
Nice.
Very fun. You know, that sounds yeah. very nice. My boat like a blast.
So we're both going to be on the West Coast.
Yeah, Florida. My boat will be at their dock, which makes me happy.
Very nice.
We're renting an RV, and we're going over to the West Coast on the RV.
Oh, look at
that. See that? All of us are going to be on the West Coast.
We're all going to be on. The state's going to tilt. Now, remember this, folks. We've got six different local professionals that have all been around here a long time. None of us are young, especially me. And
we've made that clear.
I didn't want anybody to forget in case they did. But the concept of our group was to find people that had been in business quite a long time. And it's not that young people or new people in business are not good. But my opinion, if you're going to make mistakes in life, you make more when you're young than when you're old, because you do get some experience. And then as the older you get, when I get to be as old as Vince as an example, boy, you're really afraid to make mistakes, you know. Anyway, Vince is showing his grandson now, because how did I know that? that's his first one he got.
And I'm the proud
That's
grandpa.
A great tax deduction this year, too.
For my son-in-law, yes, and my daughter,
there
absolutely.
You go. There you go.
But he's all pride and joy right now.
Joe, any predictions about the market this year?
Yes. It's going to get better.
It's going to get better. It was pretty good this past year.
It was pretty good, but then the last few weeks, this thing with oil has really sucked it up.
It's wreaked havoc.
And I've told this to, I don't know how many times, to clients, and this is an oversimplification of the market. But if companies are making money, the market goes up. If companies are losing money, the market goes down. Now, that's not 100% rule.
Not 100% rule.
But the reality is this. If the economy continues to get better, if we take the overall market, the odds are good that it'll do well. So most purveyors, most soothsayers are saying that 2015 should be a relatively good year. Could be a double-digit year, meaning that the S&P 500 could earn in excess of 8 or 9 or 10%.
Hey, think of the ripple effect, Joe, of the oil. It's not just gasoline. Anything plastic is oil derivative. So
plus look at the transportations. The cost of flying should go down. I mean, it should benefit
everything.
A tremendous amount.
Everything should help.
Companies.
If you think about 70% of oil, by the way, is transportation. 30% is all the other stuff. But that also means that companies are going to make more money right away, because already people are complaining because airlines are not lowering their fees. Well, is this not the way life works? They get to make
they raise it when the oil goes up.
Yeah,
but when it comes down, they don't lower. They drag their fees.
So they're going to make more profit. Now, who wins? Whoever owns stock in those companies.
Right.
So right now, it looks as though that the overall economy in America will continue to do better. Yes, there's all kinds of trepidation about other economies, especially Russia and Iran, Argentina, that are going to do worse. Europe technically probably will do a little better, not necessarily the
well, because they're not really oil producers.
No.
But
no.
In fact, they're oil consumers. But in general, their economies
in general
doing that well.
So what happens is right now, big consumers are China, monster consumer. U.S. now, we're pretty much independent, but already today I saw an article that a lot of the frackers are starting to cut production because of the cost.
So, well, isn't it interesting that this oil market all of a sudden took a dump at the time when all this fracking oil is coming onto the market?
I was talking to a pretty high-level politician recently and saying, do you think any of this is political? And he says, Joe. Let's face it, this is going to hurt Russia like crazy, Iran like
That's
crazy.
That's right.
And American consumers, this should all be a good thing. We have one more caller here. We'll take it real fast. We can get it in.
Yeah, we can get it in.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yeah, hello, Joe. This is Louis, and I got a question about mortgage loan.
Okay.
Yes.
It's for my daughter. She lives with me. She's a single person, and she's a veteran for the Air Force. We just tried to look if she has any benefits, because she's a full-time student now. And so I don't know what is the requirement for the VA for the loan for them.
Well, normally you just need your discharge documents, your DD-214. We take care of just about the rest. Most of the VA documents are available online to us. So I tell you what, the VA is the best way to finance a house, bar none. It is the best program out there. And if we could just put you on hold, I can take your call and speak to you.
Did Connie take your number before you got on the radio?
Okay.
Did she take your number from you?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, good.
She did, yeah.
Mike will call you back afterwards, because you're not going to have. We're down to the last. Pastor Tom is flashing a 30 seconds at us. That means.
Okay. All right.
But thank you much for calling. You hang on. Mike will give you. No, don't hang on. You can hang up. But Mike will call you back in just a minute or two.
Yeah, but to all of our veterans out there, that is the best program for home financing.
Excellent.
Listen, you got to do it. That's right. The VA is everything about a VA.
If you're entitled to those benefits, you should absolutely use them.
Listen, everybody, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. This same show, you're going to hear it next week and the week after, because we're all going to be with families and stuff. And Pastor Tom, are you going to be here Christmas Eve?
I will be here till noon Christmas Eve.
So then you're going to play our show posthumously.
Yes.
Well, wait a minute.
The computer will take care of it.
Posthumously.
Posthumously. Just remember the cartridge in a bear tree, and we all won. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. God bless you.
The program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.